you come from this family too, Susan. You've written, you know, very beautifully about your father's alcoholism, his sexuality as well, but how that his alcoholism affected your family. And, you know, this is part of our American mythos of Ernest Hemingway and Raymond Chandler and your father. We've kind of cemented this idea of creativity and alcoholism linked. Do you think the price for the alcoholic themselves has been as high as it is for their family as for the observers around them?
Well, there are two questions hidden there. Okay, so let me answer the first one first. To me, one of the most interesting things in this book is my discussion of writers and alcoholism. Because when I looked carefully at the link between American writers and alcoholism, it wasn't there. 19th century writers, Melville, Hawthorne, the Alcotts, Longfellow, Dickinson, they didn't drink. In the 19th century, there was no connection between American literature and American writers and drinking. You know, one of them drank, Poe, but for the most part, Whitman, they didn't drink. And then Prohibition came along, and for two generations, we had writers who drank. You know, famously, five of the writers who won the Nobel Prize for Literature were alcoholics. And now it's over. Writers don't drink anymore. Hmm. If you think about our most popular writers, they don't drink. So it was really a two-generation aberration in the middle of the 19th century. But somehow it's so appealing to people to think of writers as drinkers that they talk as if it was always true. And it's very interesting because there have been many books about writers who drink and writers having to drink, but they have to use the same five or six people all the time because that's all there are. So that's one of the things that really interests me in the book. And my theory is that the two generations of drinking writers came out of Prohibition, that Prohibition made drinking very, very attractive.
They had to make up for it, so to speak,
to writers, because writers are also defiant and they're outsiders. The writer is an outsider. So to me, that's one of the most interesting things I found. And your second question,
I think, was about the price that's paid by their families. You know, obviously an alcoholic pays a price, but you talked earlier about like how it affects the other people around them.
Well, that's the horrible thing about alcoholism. That's really the unbearable thing, is that it doesn't just affect the alcoholic. It affects the alcoholic's innocent children and family and friends. And, you know, many bad things happen in this world, but not so many things affect everyone around the person to whom the bad thing is happening. And that's just, it's such a tragic, awful thing to watch, say, John Quincy Adams try to deal with all these deaths and all this destruction and all this, the other things that go with alcoholism, the lying, the cheating, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and just not knowing how to deal with it. Alcoholism, you know, the dreadful parts of alcoholism fall on the innocent as well as on the drinker. And I don't know. I think it's important to understand that it isn't just the alcoholic when you have a family or a group of people, that everyone around them, in order to keep their balance, goes a little bit crazy themselves.